B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
And the man who reported the Kapler firing earlier today joins us, Comcast Business Hotline, NBC Sports Philadelphia, covering Phillies, and he is the man when it comes to inside knowledge on this squad, Jim Salisbury. Jimmy, how you doing today?
Hey. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Fantastic. All right. Then let's go back in time a little bit. First of all, we can only have theories on why it took so long. And my theory is that it was very difficult for Middleton to undercut Klentak by firing this guy. Is that what your information tells you? Or like, why did it take so long?
I think that's definitely a part of it. That's an element of it. He knew he wasn't going to move on from his general manager. And, I think he knew his general manager had a lot of shared philosophies with Kapler, and he hired Kapler and still had an allegiance to Kapler. And he wanted to show that relationship some respect, but also believe that John Middleton is just such a methodical decision maker, guy who uses every resource possible. He wants to have that extra conversation with everybody, get that extra opinion, just wanted to make sure he was making the absolute right decision for the organization. Also think that he, as a man, he respected Gabe Kapler and wanted to do him right by that. And for that reason, took his good, sweet time until he talked to the very last people he wanted to talk to and could make the most informed decision that he wanted to. I know it smacks of indecision, and there's a fine line between indecision and due diligence. And they probably suffered some bad PR for it, but I don't think they lost out on any particular managerial candidate. So in the long run, I don't think it hurt them.
Yeah, they probably didn't. But the thing I look at is that, like, he's got eyeballs. You know, like, he could he really think he could possibly come back with Kapler after a year like this? Any change had to happen because you just couldn't. Your fan base was not going to accept that you're bringing him back. So I don't understand, like, why he could. He made a decisive decision when it came to that hitting coach. And he had the same eyeballs looking at the way this team finished for the second straight year.
Yeah, true. And he does listen to his customers. He's made that clear at a couple of press conferences. The fans matter. The paying customers matter. I mean, he didn't become the businessman he is by not listening to his customers. He knew that it was a tough fit in the community. I think that weighed into his decision. But he still wanted to go out and hear opinions and different opinions, make sure he covered all the bases. I mean, that's the impression I get. I mean, he'll have to answer those questions tomorrow. He has not been available at all, so I'm sure he'll shed some more light on that tomorrow. I just think he wanted to, make sure in his mind that he was doing the right thing for his organization, because I do think there were people in that organization who wanted to stay the course.
All right, this smacks of the compromise, though, because everybody else is coming back. Now, when you're going to hire a new manager, a new manager would like to have his people around. He's got everybody coming back. Was that the compromise he made with Klentak because he felt bad about Zip and Kapler, and so he threw him a bone with this?
No, not at all. They have the largest coaching staff they've ever had. They have extra coaches now because, they teach framing pitches, and they have, extra guys in the bullpen. They have a separate infield guy. Basically, all these coaches that came in 2 years ago with Gabe Kapler were on 2-year contracts. A couple of the guys that came in last year were on 2-year contracts, so their contracts are still going on. But these options, they had 2+ an option. They had to be picked up in that first week of October, and that spanned the time that John was out there deciding whether he wanted to keep Kapler or not. So, you know what? You pick up the options. Those salaries aren't going to break you. If a guy wants to move on, he can move on. If the new manager comes in and decides he doesn't want a particular guy, they can move on from him and pay that guy like they were going to pay Rick Kranitz last year. I see it as really small potatoes, those 7 coaches. The 2 coaches that really are the big ones are the pitching coach and the hitting coach, and the manager. The new manager is going to have heavy impact in those 2 hires, if not complete impact.
All right. So where do they go from here? Where do you think they're looking? Are they looking at successful team bench coach, or are they looking at experienced manager who's out there?
Again, we're going to hear more about that tomorrow. My gut feel is they went young, inexperienced. I should say they went inexperienced, out of the box, progressive thinker last time. I think they will go more experienced this time. Somebody who has experience running a game, overseeing a clubhouse, running a clubhouse, building structure, something I think they need. So that's, the way I believe they will go. I mean, the big names, Joe Girardi, Buck Showalter, I would see them as your top two candidates out of the gate. I think they would consider Rob Thompson and Dusty Wasson as well, guys that are on the staff, and I'm sure more people will emerge. In my opinion, one of Gabe's shortcomings, he's a smart guy. He knows the game, but, you know, was he decisive enough on certain decisions, be they you know, matters in the clubhouse or matters of strategy? They need a guy who can be the boss. They need a guy who can be a general, who can look a guy in the eye and say, I think you need a day off. Who can look out to that pitcher on the mound and hold up four fingers and say, I think I need you to walk Freddie Freeman. I know you're a good competitor. I respect that, but I'm going to save you from yourself. You need to walk Freddie Freeman because I'm the boss. That's what they need.
There seems to be a conflict, though, because if they hire a guy who is a stronger personality, who has managed before, how does that impede upon the Klentak influence? Because he did influence personnel, lineups, whatever you want to say. I mean, they've got to address that situation, don't they?
Exactly. You know, he had his shot to hire a manager. He's going to get help on this one. He's 0-1.
So he's got to step back, basically.
It's going to be more of a collaborative, I believe, in hiring the next manager. And he's going to have to they're going to have to change a little bit. I mean, they're still going to have that analytic structure that they have. They're still going to try to, I'm sure, pass data, strategic data, things like that, lineup suggestions down to the clubhouse. And where once Gabe was their guy, the guy they hired, the guy they had shared values, baseball values with, the guy that they could control a little bit because they hired him, then probably not going to have that control over this next guy, and that's probably good because they need a balance between gut feel, using your eyes, using your intuition, using your experience, and numbers, analytics. They need to strike a balance that they had failed to strike over the last couple of years.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
I think the owner's going to have to dictate that to the guy who may not want to do it that way.
Don't you think he's already done that?
Yeah, I guess he has. He's had that conversation.
He's already Bigfooted his general manager enough.
Yeah.
Hey, the general manager has to go along with it. Because you know what? This next manager might end up saving the general manager's job. Because a year from now, if they're not better,
yeah.
He's under the broiler.
That's what I would just want to get into. No matter who the manager is, now, and I think you made this point earlier on NBC Sports Philadelphia, what can we expect the next year to be now that this team is decidedly behind the Braves, the Nationals, and maybe the Mets? It seems like they need so much to get into that category.
I saw a team that had two big collapses the last 2 years in a row. And obviously, main reasons for those collapses were talent deficit with the other teams, but effort had something to do with it. Injuries had something to do with it. I think you're going to have a guy that's going to be firmer in the clubhouse, and I think that's going to lead to a sharper, more focused team. That should help. But that is not going to get this team where it needs to go alone. They are going to need a influx of talent, much like they had an influx this winter. They're going to need to go out and spend some money, make some trades. I don't know how they're going to do it. But, you know, they will go out there and spend money again this offseason. That's their greatest resource. They have it. They can do it. They want to win. That's what it's going to take. They desperately need to go out and get, I'd say, at least two starting pitchers, probably two relievers. Because when you look at this team, they really have one starting pitcher you can count on. That's Aaron Nola. And he's followed by a series of question marks. And they need to, you know, do something about their pitching staff. Because when you look at the rotations in the National League East, they just don't measure up. So, you know, that is what they're going to have to do, or they're going to be a fourth-place team again.
All right, let me ask you just a couple quick questions on personnel. Just your feelings. And I know this isn't scientific. Do they make a play for Cole?
Absolutely.
They do.
Make a play. Well, why wouldn't you? You have to make the phone call. You have to see what the market is going to be. You have to be in that market. and see where it goes. And maybe just like you were in the market for the two big guys last year, you need to be in it. You have the money to play in that deep end of the pool. You need to do it. He's a Scott Boras guy, so is Anthony Rendon. They have to be in that market too. You have to jump in, see what it's going to take, mix it up. Maybe you come out on top, because those are two areas with that two players that could really, really help you. You know, and both of those guys are represented by Scott Boras. His signature client is here. He does not want his signature client, Bryce Harper, dying on the vine in Philadelphia without winning a championship. He has the chemistry with John Middleton. He knows John Middleton will spend money and has money. Look for Scott Boras, master manipulator. Call him whatever you want. He's master deal maker. Look for him to try to, you know, sidle right up to John Middleton again once this winter.
Are they more likely to have Kingery at third and keep Hernandez at second, or change it up and maybe take a chance with Bohm and move Hernandez and have Kingery play second?
I think Hernandez may have played his last game here, but, you know, I thought that in previous years as well. But my personal opinion is, you know, Scott Kingery is a good talent. He's been inconsistent, never really put it together, never really played his best position. It's time. It's time to see what he can do at his best position. Time to see what that can do for his entire game. I don't think Bohm's going to be ready out of the gate. You might have to plug at third base. Not sure how you go there. You might go on a one-year deal with a Moustakas. Might go on a one-year deal with a Josh Donaldson and get buy Alec Bohm more time. And there's no guarantee he's a third baseman. Might be a first baseman. Hence, you know, maybe you could go out and shop Rhys Hoskins for pitching. Might be an outfielder. So a lot of balls in play. I think it's time to get Kingery to second base. But I know he is a pivotal figure in this offseason because he could play second, he could play short if you move Segura off of short, he could play third, or he could be your center fielder. So he is sort of this key wheel in it all.
All right, do they need to get a center fielder?
Probably. Or, you know, depending on how much you think you can get out of McCutcheon in center field. But I think a center fielder would be a nice addition. I believe, you know, I don't have know what's going to happen with Odubel, but I don't see how that works out, how he's back. Whether or not Haseley can be your everyday guy there, I'm not sure. Kingery could be in play. McCutcheon, I'm not sure how many reps he could pick up there. Maybe if you brought Dickerson back, you could use McCutcheon over there a little bit. But, you know, a guy to come in and really lock down that position might be helpful, but then again, you might take a look at Haseley there and use your resources maybe at third base, maybe and more so in pitching relief and starting pitching where you really need it.
All right. So if Boras asks 7 years for Gerrit Cole, Phillies are in?
Well, I don't know, because they have these, they've had an organizational policy of,
yeah,
you know, multi-year deals. Though they did make Patrick Corbin a five-year offer, and Washington gave him a six-year deal, and that got the deal done. Seven-year deal, very, very risky for any pitcher, especially one north of 30, because they all break at some point. You're playing with fire, but this is a desperate situation. They need to get this fan base and this town juiced up about baseball again.
And that agent knows that more than anybody, doesn't he?
Sure he does. He's the best in the business for a reason. I don't know if they would go seven though. That's an awfully big. That just illustrates another big problem this team has. They don't really have a great farm system. They don't have a good farm system. They don't have pieces. One of the reasons they couldn't absorb all these injuries this year is because they didn't have enough depth. They didn't have enough depth immediately in the farm system. They didn't have enough, and they don't have enough depth down the road where you think they can make a big move to catch Atlanta and Washington here in the next few years. You have to develop your homegrown guys so you don't have to spend 7 years on a pitcher that's north of 30 that you know is going to break at some point.
All right. Sounds good. Jim, always a pleasure, man. Good. The busy day for you. Be busy tomorrow as well. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Mike. See you.
There he is. Jim Salisbury covers Phillies, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.